Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Don Pepperell. I represent the appellants, Richard and Connie Norton. This is an appeal from the district court's granting a motion for summary judgment in an inverse condemnation action. Under Nebraska law, to meet the initial threshold of a viable inverse condemnation cause of action, it must be shown that the invasion of the landowner's property rights was an intended or foreseeable result of authorized governmental action. This court has held that one test to determine if governmental actions constitutes an intentional or foreseeable taking is, does the public use or project constitute a direct, substantial, and particular burden on the subject property? This is a question of law. The Nortons own 11 lots that are basically contiguous, but divided by some streets and alleyways. This is the original part of the original subdivision of Hickman. These lots were subdivided and created when the town was incorporated. To the west of the lots, there is located a major drainway that flows northwest. To the west of that, there is a paved bike path. The Nortons allege access and flooding damage in their cause of action. A first issue is access. Access is a property right in the form of an easement. It can't be materially impaired by authorized government actions without the payment of just compensation. The government actions that we allege constitute a taking with respect to access is they constructed a flume in the Fifth Street right-of-way. Now, I said we're talking about access. That does tie in with flooding as well, because that flume was created because 6th Street, 5th Street, and Cedar Street were gravel pavement with grass culverts. And this project, they came in and they replaced them with poured concrete with curbs, but no storm sewers. This acted to cause the water that was north and west east of the north property to all flow, be forced down into this flume and out into the Fifth Street right-of-way, which the Norton property slots are immediately adjacent to on both sides.
This was in a floodplain?
This is in, yes. All of this property is located within the 100-year FEMA floodplain.
And so, it's a green space now, is that correct?
It is a green space. All of the witnesses, expert witnesses, agreed that the highest and best use is for residential development. They had not developed it yet.
But in order to do residential development, there would have to be dirt or something brought in to raise the level of the land.
Absolutely. And
was there evidence to establish how much more was going to need to be raised because of what the city had done?
It was in the appraisers. Both of the appraisals discussed how much it was going to cost to raise the elevation to that 1 foot above that you just needed with the footprint of the building, but how much would it cost to raise the elevation of that 1 foot above the floodplain? Yes.
But the appraisers, their report was not part of the district court record.
Yes, it was. I believe it was, Your Honor.
All right, go ahead.
For instance, I think, the appraisals were offered in the summary judgment hearing.
The appraisals itself
and affidavits, both. I know the appraisals of the plaintiffs was. I think the appraisal of the defendant was as well. I know he had an affidavit.
Okay, are we talking about the appraisals that your client had people do, or are we talking about the appraisers from the county court?
The appraisals that we had our clients do.
All right.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Right, I thought you were referring to what the county court appraisers
did. That was in the transcript, but the transcript I don't know is often in there.
That's my understanding. That's why I was confused. Apologize.
The second thing, Your Honor, with respect to access is next to the flume, they built a pedestrian, an elevated pedestrian walkway with a rock surface that went from Cedar Street to the bike path. This was also in the Fifth Street right-of-way. And prior to the construction, this Fifth Street right-of-way was being used, although minimally because my clients had torn down the residences that were existing there and not had built anything to replace them yet, so it wasn't used much. They essentially closed Cedar Street south of Fifth Street by, one, they put a curb, that curb we've talked about, went right across Cedar Street. They removed the culvert that was there at the time, the existing culvert for the road. They put a dirt barrier behind the culvert, and they set a fire plug in the right-of-way. So the fence effectively closed off Cedar Street, and again, this is the access my clients had to those lots, both above and below Fifth Street.
Did not the city say that if your client came in to want to use this property for residential purposes, they would cut the curb and do the necessary things to give access to that property?
They did say that they would give us curb cuts, but that doesn't help when you have a flume and a rope pedestrian walkway. What's good is a curb cut going to do you? It was smokescreen as far as I'm concerned.
What's your best evidence that there was foreseeability in the additional funding to your client's property, taking away both access and using the road?
Access. They closed several streets down. I mean, they didn't give us curb cuts. They basically.
But that's after the fact. What's the foreseeability when they were getting ready to do this? That was great.
Well, one thing we're talking about foreseeability would be, when we're talking flooding, was that we haven't got to, well, part of, to the north of Cedar Street and Sixth Street, there is an area in the northwest that flowed to the west. It flowed along, according to the court order says, it flowed along Sixth Street. Part of the construction was that they built a valley gutter that brought that water south down to the flume and shoved it onto Fifth Street rather than allowing it to go down Sixth Street along, flow along Sixth Street. Their engineer pointed out, due to the change from gravel to a concrete service roadway, a valley gutter across 6th Street would cause an increase in drainage run off to the south. They foresaw that even in this area that was going to increase the drainage, and it was also redirecting it rather than to west on 6th Street down to 5th Street.
Did your expert also testify to that?
The engineer talked about the redirection. The appraisers all talked about their opinion was foreseeable. That they believe that the damage, all of the aspects of damage was foreseeable, and I'm talking about the control of access, the various elements of the control of access, as well as the flooding.
And what did the district court decide on that issue?
Okay, on access?
No, on the foreseeability.
Well, the district court found it was not foreseeable.
It did that as a matter of law, yes.
The court found that, well, of course, it's a legal question, but are supposed to make an independent conclusion.
But isn't the question of foreseeability a factual question?
According to the case law, I think it should be. The case law, Your Honor, says it is a factual issue, and the court, in his opinion, cites that case and states that foreseeability is a factual determination.
There was testimony presented showing that the city did not perceive these problems. Isn't that correct?
Their appraiser and their engineer said that they believed that it was not foreseeable.
There was also testimony saying it was foreseeable.
There was testimony that it was foreseeable. Yes.
And so how can you tell as a matter of law whether or not it's foreseeable?
I don't know, Your Honor. And I struggle with that rule that's in the cases. The one about the Boulevard, Pontnell Boulevard, specifically states in the court, in their opinion, cites that case and says that foreseeability is a question of law that they must decide before they ever get to the issue of damages. I think that's clearly an opinion, but that's what the case law says. If that's the case, then it's up to you, Your Honors, to determine whether or not, as a matter of law, it was foreseeable. And if you take a pedestrian walkway and stick it in the middle of a right-of-way, if you shove a bunch of water, all of the water from an area down into that right-of-way, it's very foreseeable that you're going to cause problems. Then the important issue too, the court found that as to the issue of access, they wouldn't even want to get to it because the court found that it wasn't right. He said until they start to develop access issue is for residential developers is not right. And that's just not the law. The law is you must collect all damages now for based on highest and best use, which everybody agreed was residential development. Your Honor, we would request the matter be reversed and remanded for trial.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Kelly Hofschneider. I'm here on behalf of the Appalachian City of Hickman, Nebraska. The legal standard is set forth correctly by Mr. Pepperell, which was set forth by the Supreme Court of Nebraska, Henderson v. City of Columbus, which says that before a court in these types of cases looks at proximate causation and damages, the initial question first is whether or not there was an invasion of property rights that was intended or was the foreseeable result of government action.
Doesn't Henderson say that the issue comes down that they filed the wrong kind of action instead of inverse condemnation, it should have been a tort action?
The court did address in that case that that they could have also brought other actions on appeal, but they chose not to. So there was also the court addressed that they could have taken a negligence claim against the city. They could have did a tort claim against the city. They could have did an inverse condemnation action under the Constitution or under a statutory inverse condemnation. So they weren't able to actually take that up and address that matter on appeal. The supporting facts here involve the Norton's four vacant residential development parcels located in the southwest part of Hickman. As previously mentioned, all these properties have been located in the 100-year floodplain at all times. The city of Hickman could not foresee that the Nortons would incur damages to their property as a result of two street improvement projects. The first one was in 2006 for a residential development north of the Nortons' properties, and the second one was for a gap paving project, paving a street to the east of the Nortons' properties.
Didn't your engineer testify to the fact that by paving these streets and changing the way the water is being drained, it would force the water to run south? Generally, I mean, I'm not saying it specifically, but it is a general proposition. Is that what it does?
Our engineer testified that it was done according to normal construction practices, and that the water continued to flow in the same general direction as before. There was evidence that it was a bit of an increase in speed, a very small increase in pooling and flooding, but that the water did follow the same general path.
And the engineer said that that was foreseeable.
That's correct.
How do you can say that this is an issue that should be decided by the jury? If that's foreseeable, then technically the city knew that when they did this, there was going to be additional flooding that was going to be on the Norton property that was going to cause them damage. I'm having a hard time getting past that, so if you could help me,
sure,
I'd appreciate it.
But the additional flooding was, let me back up. So it was determined that there would be additional flooding and additional ponding of water. But what the court has determined and what our experts have determined that does not affect that. Well, first off, it wasn't foreseeable that a street improvement project in general would cause these damages to the Nortons.
But there was conflicting testimony to that, and maybe by the other side, but I thought there was testimony about whenever you put concrete down, it's going to absorb less water than if you would have left it in its natural state.
Well, yes, we do have engineers from both sides, and there are two reports in there that discuss, the flow of water. But this really isn't a case about negligent flow of water. It's not about a trespass. This is not a negligent case. And Mr. Pepperell wants to turn this into basically a negligent design or a negligent construction case. We don't have that in front of us. That cause of action is not present.
I don't see that at all. I see what they're saying, that by what you did intentionally, and as a result, you've taken away his ability to use his property, and he wants to be compensated for it. That's what I read. I don't see anything about negligence. I just think that as a result of whatever you did, that you foresaw that this is what you were going to do, you could tell that it was going to have some impact. Maybe you didn't know the exact amount of impact, but there was going to be some impact on his property, and as a result, he does not have access to part of it, and part of it, more flooding is going to require more dirt to raise it up and build houses.
Actually, after the construction was complete, and the after the fact analysis showed that they don't have to bring in more dirt. That the base flood that's in the record. The base flood elevation did not change both before and after these construction projects. The same amount of dirt has to still be brought in to bring these properties above the base flood elevation of 1,244 feet. They still have to bring in 5 to 6 feet of dirt to raise it above the minimum standards set forth by FEMA. That did not change. Getting back to whether or not this is a tort case or an inverse condemnation case, the Henderson Court did note that flooding may be compensable taking when it is frequent, because the frequency of flooding could indicate that the taking or damage of property is a known or foreseeable result of government action. Here, there was no evidence submitted by the Nortons of any history of prior flooding of non-developed residential properties as a result of similar City of Hickman projects throughout town. There's no past pattern or conduct of the City of Hickman received into evidence to show that the city could have reasonably anticipated the alleged damages to the property. Loss of access. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about about foreseeability. What was foreseeable was that the paving of both streets adjacent to these properties would improve access to the property. The city's appraisal by Great Plains states that access to the site is now via paved roads versus gravel and dirt roads. This improved access is primarily directly related to the east tract with general benefits to the west and south tracts, according to the appraisal.
Was there also an appraisal offered by the that indicated that it was going to cause, if there were damages, it was going to cost them expense to get this corrected, and that it was not to do their advantage to have it paid?
So there are competing appraisals done here which address, the City of Hickman had completed a before and after analysis by Great Plains appraisals, determining what the damages were before and what they were after. And That really goes to damages, and we're not at the damages stage here, but we're at the beginning stage of determining whether there's intent or foreseeability. So they are relevant, and yes, we have competing appraisals here at issue.
Can you talk about the district judge taking into account the report of the county court appraisers?
Sure.
My understanding on a summary for a motion for summary judgment, the court's supposed to take the pleadings, the affidavits, the law, and come to a conclusion whether or not there's a material issue of fact. My understanding is that he did consider the fact that the appraisers came back with a zero amount. And I can't find that determination anywhere in the pleadings or anywhere in any of the evidence. So I don't understand how he could be permitted to consider that.
If I go back and look at Judge Colburn's opinion, I don't know that he ever referenced that it was a part of the decision, but what the appraiser's award is a part of the record. And in determining...
What record?
Mr. Pepperell made it a part of the record as a part of his pleadings.
He hasn't said anything about the award. He just says that the amount that he received was inadequate.
I believe if we search through the transcript and all the pleadings in this matter, and maybe in the summary judgment pleadings as well.
The transcript from the county court, it would be there, but I don't see anywhere that was offered in the case. And I don't see anywhere where that's considered pleading. That causes me concern also, so I need an opportunity to address it.
And then the case law cited on that is in, you know, in the damages phase of an inverse condemnation case, you know, you're not going to take that into consideration. But we're not at the damages stage.
So you think you should be able to consider that in the, as far as whether or not there's foreseeability?
I believe at the initial stage, yes, it's allowed to be a part of a.
Is there authority for that?
It's allowed to be a part of. I believe I've addressed it in my brief, but it's allowed to be a part of the initial the summary judgment proceedings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Pepperell, have any time left?
No time remains.
Okay.